This is White Mountain Rescue Part 4. Oh my gosh. We are still in the middle of the fallen photographer rescue. Let's recap the state of our first responders at the moment. Let's take a look at Roderick Lopps, who is currently rocking just the buzzing condition. Okay. Mike Hesters has the not deer is watching and sprained ankle. In case you forgot about that moment. Sergeant Hank McBride has nothing. He's good. And Dallas Bartmoss has the drone, which, as a reminder, was a kind of made up thing in the moment of, as long as you keep that condition, you can have advantage on a role that you could reasonably use your drone for. But it also might impose disadvantage on, you know, certain situations, depending. And you can clear it at any time. That inspired by Jason's decision to give me the gloom condition from our Silt Versus game. So anyway, let's see. So we are currently doing the Fallen Photographer. As a reminder, the team of first responders are currently about an hour north to the presidential range of the White Mountains, Mount Adams near Randolph, New Hampshire, looking for a fallen nature photographer named Rex Barnaby, who tumbled down the ridge this morning. You had spoken with his registered trail guide about some information there, and also spoke with the volunteer rescue team. And before we ended last time, the group of you had made their way up the trail to get towards the site. It's a long hike. Mike went ahead on the ATV. The rest of you took a very muddy, precarious shortcut. But you're kind of making your way up towards that ridgeline in search of him. And at the end of the previous session, Mike Hesters, all alone up on the rocky ascent, waiting for his associates to arrive, witnessed something quite strange. A group of people in pristine white robes stood atop the rocky ridge watching Mike, wearing crowns made out of something green, while a very messed up looking deer stood amidst them and then disappeared. The not deer, as it is known as. And that is where we left off. But first, make sure everybody takes a look at their character and picks new end of session questions. A few of you advanced last time. Did we decide for sure what moves you were taking? And let's just go over those now so we're aware of those.
Yeah. I picked up Rock Solid. Your endurance is legendary with the team, and you could walk for days and days, as well as take a hit and shrug it off. Increase your vitality by one.
Nice.
And I picked up flashbacks. I did go with flashbacks.
Stick.
And that's where I was on a, Sergeant Hank McBride was on a rescue that went horribly wrong. People were lost and Hank barely survived. He never talks about the event, but it still haunts him. And so now some strange things that happened back then, he's starting to see signs of them now. So three times I may describe how something eerie from a current rescue was also present in the past, and I can expand the details and create a mountain clue three times.
Yeah, we have two playbooks that can just accelerate the campaign pace between the ranger and the veteran. Very cool, very fun. And Wes, what did you take?
The benefactor, Dallas Bartmoss, took a plus one to sensitivity, because I've seen some shit.
Oh. Very nice. Cool. Love that. You've joined the likes of Roderick and Mike at the one sensitivity club. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Hank McBride still doesn't believe in this shit. I love that. Very good. Awesome. Let's pick up where we left off, which is right before the group of Roderick, Dallas, and Sergeant McBride arrive. Mike, let's start with you. You had looked over your shoulder when you heard the three of them coming up the trail. You can kind of like see them making their way up towards you. Mm-hmm. And when you turned back around, the figures on the ridgeline and the not deer were no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
I think Oh, yeah. I think, you know what? Hold on. I have to check some stuff because okay, that okay, and that no, I cannot do that, unfortunately speaking.
Okay.
I think I'm pacing around the area just trying to like look for stuff. Because like again, I'm a little bit anxious about going much further because there's creepy people out in the woods. Doing who knows what. And the fact that I know like for people down the ridge have guns, I'm assuming that the creepy people also have guns. So like I don't want to accidentally bump into them or something because you don't.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
I will say that for Roderick, Dallas, and Sergeant McBride, the three of you, as you're walking up from the now thankfully dried trail that's been rather precariously muddy, you've got a thick cake on your boots now. I'd say of the three of you, Dallas, you probably don't pay much attention to the body language of Ranger Hester's over here. But I think Sergeant Hank and Roderick would be able to tell that there's something up. Like that, like there's something, like there's an anxiety present in Mike's movements. Definitely more with I'd say more with Hank, because you've probably worked with Mike for longer. But Roderick, you can also tell. The three of you kind of come hiking up. What is Dallas paying attention to? What is Dallas's like
Well,
eye
it's just really interesting because I don't know if you ever knew this, but New Hampshire is home to a very specific subset of pine trees. And not just pine trees, but also is the home of the American sycamore tree. And if you look over to the right, you can see there is a beautiful cluster that goes along below the ridge line
I
right
have to
there.
ask, are you like Instagram streaming right now somehow? Like,
Yeah,
what?
I think using the drone as like a it intensifies the range and everything like that. Dallas is like just like looking. And yeah, it's just like looking and it's so beautiful out here. And I think this is one of the main reasons why we should get out there and help conserve our wildlife and go and experience it and enjoy it. Because if you look out here, you can see all these beautiful things that you wouldn't be able to see in other places in the world. And then like pointing out, you see that American sycamore tree right there. That sycamore tree, it may just look like a tree, but that tree, you can't find that on any other country in the world. Only right here in the American Northeast can you find this beautiful tree. Like that kind of just like.
I think there's a point where, like, Roderick does look at you and go, "Are you talking to us?" Like,
Am I talking to,
yeah,
one
like,
second,
would
guys.
you.
Am I talking to you?
Guess that's a no.
No. I'm not. I mean, I can talk to you. I can.
No, I just.
Actually, this is great. I'm talking to my followers.
Oh, please, no.
Wave. And I'm gonna turn the camera around. And I'm gonna say, "Howdy, everybody. I am here with some experienced U.S. Forest Service Rangers. I've got Sergeant Hank McBride. Go ahead and give a wave. Ah, yeah, there he is." There he is. And then also I am here with Roderick Lops. What a great name. Roddy, won't you go ahead and tell the people on my stream what you do for the U.S. Forest Services?
I'm good.
Good at doing first aid, because Roddy is a fantastic medic. Always,
Thanks.
always going ahead, just making sure that any rolled ankles are good and bandaged, all that good stuff. I've got to go here soon, but you can see off in the distance there's one of our like lead rangers, Mike Hester's in the distance, just staring at a ridge line, going ahead, taking tracks, making sure to see if we can find out this missing photographer. Won't you go ahead and stay tuned for any updates? And I'll go ahead and I'll see you later, Bart Moss Collective. Dallas out. And then go ahead and close that. Just looking forward to themselves.
I think as like you're like pointing out, Mike Hester is like looking at Traxie, turns to you very slowly, looks at you directly, and then frowns at Bart Moss Collective, like just like Dallas, we're looking for a missing person who is probably injured.
Yep.
Why are you on social media now, of all times?
You like money, right, Mike?
Money is a necessity to life in the U.S.
Let me go ahead and interrupt you there, Mike. Dallas, I do like money, and we're on the clock, and this is how I get paid. So let's get up this ridgeline.
Just gonna say, yes, sir, Sergeant. Yes, sir, Sarge. I'm gonna look at Mike and say, it's nothing offensive. I'm just trying to get people interested in the forest, you know, trying to drum up interactions. That's it. If you don't like it, though, I'm sure there's another ranger's office that you can transfer to. And just going to just start moving up the ridge line.
I think
there's no shoulder check or anything like that. It's just like a nice and polite, just like.
Polite?
But menacing. Sorry, polite but menacing.
I think as like you're turning away, like just Mike Hester is just like, oh fuck.
Oh my god.
Okay. All right. Roderick, there's people around in the area. I don't know who they are. They're not the part of the volunteer search team, as far as I'm aware.
Did you talk to them?
No, they ran off when they saw me. So
they like how many? What do they look like?
About half dozen people. They were. I couldn't see their faces because they were wearing masks and whatnot. I don't.
It's not even. It's not even that. It's not even. What are you talking about, Mike?
I don't know. It's very weird. You know, in the area, like people like to do pranks and whatnot, and just do all sorts of shenanigans in the woods. I'm really hoping that they don't have as much weapons as we did see down back at base, as were.
Well, there's not going to be like a range war in New Hampshire. Come on.
I know, but it always concerns me.
Like Yellowstone.
Like
it's not going to not here. What kind of mask were they wearing? Like hunting masks? What are you talking about?
No, like white face masks.
Like Halloween masks?
Like Halloween masks. It's they're weird.
The fuck? This is a perfect place for Hank McBride to have a flashback and get a mastermind clue.
Oh no, yes.
Yeah. I'll give it to you let me think about it. I'll give it to you. Yes. We see Hank kind of like go.
Nothing like the creator of the game coming up with mountain clues, honestly.
Yeah, white mask. What do you? And so I think I got it. You want to hear it?
I would fucking love to hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Mike says white mask, and so Hank's like white mask, and then it flashes to a dark. It's dark, and people are saying go 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 go, and it's in the woods, and it's raining, and people are slipping, and. Hank gets disoriented and turns around, and standing taller than him is somebody wearing these wet white robes drenched by rain. And all they have on is this white mask, and they've got a strange sickle shaped like dagger, and they take a swipe at Hank. And as he turns, he can feel the impact, his pack, and he falls, and he's scrambling trying to get up out of the mud as this figure's like looming behind him. And that's the flashback mountain clue.
We'll go ahead and add that to the mountain clues list. I love that. Anyone here see the movie The Void?
Yeah.
Yeah, the white
robe. It felt like the void, the white robe with the black. Yeah, yeah. Go watch The Void. If you like John Carpenter's like practical effects movies that are like super creepy, it's Halloween season. Go ahead and go watch The Void. It's great.
Solid practical effects cosmic horror film. And I'll post a picture in the Zoom call right there of some of the cultists from that movie.
Thank you. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's sick. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Go Google that if you're watching this.
Yeah, go just look up The Void Cultists. It's right there. That puts us at 3 mountain clues, which puts us in the next layer of the campaign sheet.
Oh, God, that quickly? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3. It's always 3.
Fuck yeah, always 3. Fuck yeah.
So, I have new things I can play around with now. Anyway, while that's getting added to our sheet, y'all begin to ascend the rocky ridgeline up towards the accident site. It's still like a long and arduous journey up. I think especially for Mike, this is not comfortable for you with a sprained ankle at all. However, you're lucky because Roderick is here, and Roderick can, if Roderick wasn't here, I would be making you roll the risky move for the sake of making a arduous climb with a sprained ankle, but you've got the medic. The medic is looking after you, mitigating that condition for you. It takes a while though. You guys started this hike around midday, so you're burning daylight. It's kind of getting to be around like late afternoon, like getting into like the early evening. So like the sun is beginning to just be a little bit lower in the sky, this ever-present like reminder of time slipping away and also losing the light that is keeping this entire region of the world illuminated, honestly. But up at the Castle Point accident site, from this summit of the King's Ravine ridgeline, you can see the Presidential Range in all its glory, with a wide green forest of pine trees below. A knocked-over camera tripod and a canteen show you exactly where Rex and Clint were this morning. Down below is a treacherous-looking fall that could definitely be fatal. Let's paint the scene. From this position, what about the terrain indicates that Rex could have survived the fall?
There's like scuff marks and everything from like where the fall happened and everything like that. And there's a clear area where there was an impact, but then there are footprints that lead away from that.
I think just generally speaking, like the area where they fell is just like, there's some, like there isn't like rocks at the bottom per se, but more or less like a very fine bedding of like pine needles and whatnot, a very soft cushion.
I'm going to say there's also some foliage on the way down, branches and things that could have like lessened the speed, slowed him down as he fell.
I think there's actually one branch in particular that is sort of like closer to the cliff face, that's like hanging out from the cliff face, that has been yanked off about midway down. Like he grabbed it and slowed his fall.
Also around this area of note, there is a labeled side trail, the Chemin de Dames hiking trail, which leads down the ravine. It's very direct, it's very steep. And also beneath the ridge itself is a very steep incline, a rocky gully. Mike, as you are kind of like looking down it, It's quite steep, but the rocks are actually flat enough to be used for dropping down points, almost like giant stairs.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Anyway, yes, you're at the top of the summit.
Anyway,
what do you guys do?
I don't want to go down the stairs.
I think you see Dallas already getting a belay line set up. Has found an anchor point with like a sturdy tree and everything. and is like already tying off like some ropes and has like a harness set up and everything like that. And is like, you ready?
I think since I did bring my ATV, four by four ATV back there, I think like I took before we headed up here, like I think I took out some like climbing gear and whatnot.
Okay.
So I am, I'm giving that to you, Dallas Bartmoss, because like you're getting it set
up. Okay. Perfect.
So add it to your personal items.
Mike's climbing gear.
Ooh. Roderick and Sergeant McBride, what are the two of you getting up to right now?
Well, the guide said that something or someone knocked them off. Mm-hmm. So Hank's looking around for tracks or for evidence to back up the guide's story. And he's a registered guide, so I don't think he's just making it up. But I want to like get some evidence that.
Go ahead and roll the search move plus your reason. And Roderick?
I think I'm trying to like see if I can just see this photographer down there. Like I know, or see if like there's maybe blood or like a person down there without going down there first. And I do look at Dallas and go, have you done this before? You like rock climb, rappelled?
Rock climbing, rappelling, all that stuff. Okay. Bouldering. Have done a little bit of spelunking. You ever gone to a cave before?
Nope, don't.
It's majestic. Oh, come on, Roddy, you have to. Yeah, you got to go ahead and like especially go to like Belize or like in Mexico and like those big wide mouth open caves where it's just a hole in the ground and you set up a belay line and you just rappel and it feels like you're rappelling into hell, which is one of the most beautiful feelings in the world.
You might have sold me on that one. All right, next time I'm in Belize.
Bart Moss actually does a lot of like volunteer work with like forest conservation down there. We're replanting whole forests that have been cut through by lumbering. If you want to come down one summer or something like that, I can bring the whole team down and we can go ahead and do a little bit of good work and, do some hiking and backpacking and, a little bit of swimming. I got a boat, Hank, as you see it like tying off the belay line.
I will be somewhere else next summer. A little place I like to call paradise.
Yeah, I like Belize, huh?
I'm not going to get much work out of him.
I get it. It's okay. He can just enjoy some, cerveza on the beach.
Hank, what'd you get, by the way?
I got a 6 plus 2 is 8.
8. All right. You'll get a clue with the complication. Yes, Dallas, you were saying?
Tied the line off and everything, and I'm ready. And I grab the drone off my back and I set it up and I'm like, I'm gonna see if I can get any signs of those guys out in the wild or anything like that. And I'm going to program the drone to look for white robed people.
Interesting.
Or white face masks.
Interesting.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm into this.
Okay. To just like, just so I'm clear on the intent here, it's like programming it to just like pick up on like white specks and like and analyze them and like.
And see if it's like people or if it's animals or maybe just like snow caps or maybe rock deposits, maybe some calcified rock deposits or something like that, but set within the parameters of if it's white and moving, what if it's Hank skinny dipping, don't say that out loud.
I mean, it's an advanced drone, so it probably has thermal imaging, honestly, on there. Absolutely. So like, that helps as well. Yeah. What ability would this be? I assume reason, honestly. Just for the sake of like, because you're not doing any. You're not focusing. You're just programming it to do that. Although I will ask you, is Dallas doing the programming, or is there like another way he is getting it handled?
I'm going to be using my next gen smartphone. It's a prototype, and I am going to be essentially texting along with a technician to essentially tell me what to do and everything, and like how to program it so I can keep track of it on my smartphone and everything.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, I was going to say, like, because this is more about the drone programming. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could have gotten advantage on the appropriate role. Mm-hmm. But I like that. Go ahead and do search move plus reason with advantage because you marked
my smartphone.
Your smartphone to get the actual engineers and handlers to do that for you.
Look, me and Tim Cook, we are from the same alma mater. Go Tigers, Auburn University, in beautiful Auburn, Alabama. And he hooked me up with the iPhone 17. That's right, we skipped a generation, baby.
Oh my
God. Literally the only thing I know about Tim Cook. Tim Apple.
Oh my God. Mr. Apple.
Mr. Apple. Okay. All right. That is a 6 and a 5, an 11.
11. Very nice.
The other one was a 1, so.
Yeah, as I say. I'll give you your clue, and then I'll let you decide if you want to open a gate to also get another mountain clue, considering you have 2 mountain clues you are unable to capture and record because you were not there to witness them. Mm-hmm. So let me give you those in a moment. For now, I'm going to go back to Hank and give Hank his clue and his complication. Let's take a look here because you were searching the immediate area. Let's see what clues have I already given out. Actually, let me double check that real quick. Okay, let's see. Oh my God. Hank.
He's lost the forest.
Yeah, he's lost the forest. No. Yeah, Sergeant Hank, I think, I think looking around the immediate scene, you do spot unrecognizable footprints that are in the area. They are. This is a rocky summit. It's not like they're tracks in the dirt. It's like filthy feet. You actually can't tell if they're bare or if they're booted or if they're very. At first, it just looks like streaks of like mud and filth and dirt. But like even the most cynical person would have trouble dismissing them as anything other than footprints, but you cannot recognize for the life of you what they come from up near the ridgeline. And you're not a forensic expert in crime or anything, but given how these footprints move about the area, it does give you the pretty strong impression that whoever left them here probably did some shoving off of a ridge of other people. You get the idea that this was an assailant of some kind. So that is your clue. You're muted.
I would point that out to definitely to Mike, saying, I can't make this out, Mike. I don't know what this I don't recognize these marks up here on the rocks, but it clearly this is, you can tell here where they shoved off and put all their weight right here where this sludge is. Mm-hmm. And that would be right about where this tripod's set up.
Yeah. So
I guess the guide was onto something, shoved them off.
Yeah, it definitely, like you could see here, like the footprints walk over themselves back and forth. So like the whatever was here for a while after the fall. So, and just because of our money, like even with like trying to discern it, it's just not going to be possible unless we see some more clear signs of this walking out into the woods towards, I think, that way. And I point the direction where the footprints are leading.
I don't know if I want to find what left these footprints, Mike.
Yeah, it, person or animal, it's not going to be happy to see us, so.
So, what do you think? One of us should go down and one of us should follow these tracks and see where this thing went?
Like, I could follow the tracks because...
You do have the gun.
I do have a gun, and I don't feel like it, my ankles just really bother me as of late, so I really shouldn't be climbing down a cliff face as like I see Dallas just like there, like with rope ties and like probably hacking the drone.
I'm gonna take this trail.
Oh, you're muted.
Yeah, is doing that lean back that you see like repellers and climbers do, where it's like God. Towards like the cliffside and everything like that, and it's just on the smartphone looking at the drone and everything.
Cool.
I would drop that phone. Roddy, are you wanna go with Dallas or me or Mike?
I need to go down where. As much as I'd love to go with Mike and see whatever the hell that is. I probably need to go where our injured photographer probably is. Mm-hmm. It's kind of my job. So,
then I'm going to take this trail. You guys will be down there before me, but I'll take the trail. And, all right. Godspeed.
All right. Holler if you need anything.
For your complication, Mike, I think it works very well that you split off from the group and begin walking away. As you start making your way over to the marked trailhead, getting a little bit of distance from them. You're just walking step after step and, you know, rocky terrain underfoot, the occasional crunch of like small patches of dirt, sticks, debris, just, you know, the usual like forest litter that, and then a very unnatural feeling and sound as your boot steps on something that then makes us almost like, how do I phrase it? It's like a crunch, like, but like not like a, it's more like a metallic crunch. It's very, very like, it's just like stepping on very brittle aluminum almost. If aluminum were to like shatter, if you actually stepped on it or something like that, and just crunches underfoot. And when you lift your foot and peel it back, you see that you have stepped on a leaf, but it doesn't look like a normal leaf. And kind of looking at the ground immediately surrounding you, there are several more of these leaves lying around, appearing to be made out of some old tarnished metal, coppery and growing green. And thin and brittle. How do you feel?
Is this Mike or Hank?
This is Hank. Did I say Mike?
Oh, yeah, you said Mike. But...
Oh, I meant to say Mike. Hank. Oh, my bad. I meant to say
I did not roll, therefore I do not get complication.
So Hank, these leaves that are made out of metal, and do they look like they were part of the photographer's set up? I think he would feel puzzled. Like, what are these? And he would pick a couple of them up and like look at them.
Interesting. You take the condition puzzled. Mike, are you also going down the ascent? What were you doing?
I am following these footprints to see like where they go, because I imagine like we are splitting up in a three-way.
Yep, gotcha.
So like Sergeant Hank is going down the stairs. I'm avoiding the stairs. I do not trust.
Well, Sergeant Hank's going down the trail. It looks like Dallas and Roderick are going down the stairs, the rocky slope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're rappelling down that. Yeah. But yeah, then you're kind of like staying up on the summit, kind of going off and like looking at other Gotcha. Cool. Let's go to Dallas and Roderick for a moment. I will say that one of you, and it's probably going to be Dallas because you have the climbing gear, will make this roll for the two of you. Because if you're kind of like using the rope as like support to help climb. Now, it's not like you're doing it like free climbing. It's there are these flat rocks that make it navigable. You're taking it slow and you're being cautious. I'm not gonna say that this is dangerous. This is risky, but only one of you needs to roll for it. So Dallas, since you have the climbing gear, this is gonna be plus your... Honestly, because it's not like a hard climb, it's just being steady. I'm gonna say composure. Because you're not, okay. It's not very athletic. It's just you're being careful.
Perfect. Pressure. Okay. Sick. I am also going to open a gate.
To make a mountain clue out of the drone thing. Well, first of all, let me tell you what your regular clue was.
Yes.
And then I will also add a mountain clue to that. The first thing you see is kind of like, I imagine you've programmed like that, like the communication between the drone and whatever device you have on you, that it gives you an alert whenever it detects the programmed movement it's, you know, currently observing for. So as you're kind of like, you know, getting the belay set and tying yourself off, Roderick is checking his loops. You're getting, you know, situated with yours. You're clipping to his loop. There is another cold. I said gates because that's Moonlight Veil.
Confused. For my
Moonlight Veil playtest, they're called gates, and that's so yeah, crowns. They're still crowns. Thank you.
Okay.
It's okay. I play so many games, Alex.
I was just rolling with it.
I play so many games. So yes, you get a little alert that when you check, you see that the footage from the drone begins to auto replay this little like relevant segment that it's caught. It just begins to, like, loop this section for you to observe. Between, you know, with its thermal imaging, there is it's kind of like high up above the terrain below. It's down in the kind of like marshy area at the base of the ridge, but, you know, there's a little bit of like dry ground. There is a lot of small or various size shapes moving rapidly, kind of like you kind of like squint and you get to like zoom, you know, zoom enhance. And you see this groupings of various birds, squirrels, and rabbits that all appear to be heading away from something. Like they all just kind of like come out of parts of the tree line and underbrush at various intervals, like on like a mass spooking of several different animals at once, just leaving this area. That is your regular clue. I'll give you your mountain clue in a moment.
Interesting. You're just gonna see Dallas say, interesting. What's really that? Interesting.
What'd you see?
There's just gonna hand over the phone and say, you see those, like, have you ever seen animal movements like that before?
It's a bit weird. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not an animal expert. I'm not like an outdoors expert here. I'm more of a medical guy. So I'm not gonna pretend to know.
No, yeah, yeah.
It's normal.
You ever, you know, worked wildfires or anything like that?
No.
It's kind of like animals running away from a wildfire. That's strange.
That's concerning. Damn it, I wish Hank was repelling with us. I'm just show him. He'd know what the fuck was going on.
Dallas, could you go ahead and roll the risky move for maneuvering down? I know I asked you to do that before, but did you get a number on that roll? Or?
No, I was going to go ahead and resolve the other stuff first.
Where yeah.
are my dice? Okay.
And what are you afraid of happening?
I am afraid that I'm going to look like an ass after like doing this whole like lead up and build up of me like being prepared and having done all of this stuff, and then it's just like, oh yeah, no, you're just a dumb dick. So that's terrifying. I think everybody at home
in this game,
you know. Three, five plus one, that's a nine.
Okay. We'll get back to you with your mountain clue as well. Mike, you can also roll the search move plus your reason.
Ooh.
And I'm going to give you disadvantage from the not deer is watching.
Oh. Since you did say, like, it's starting to get a little bit dark out, and like, mm-hmm. I'm heading out by myself. You shouldn't be anywhere without being prepared without your high-powered flashlight.
Large. That we have next to that, yeah. You want to mark your flashlight? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just this big lantern that's about the size of my head. And like, I'm just going out, taking a look around.
Go for it.
Oh, God. You want to know?
Yeah, I would love to.
Two.
There's honestly a pretty clear trail to follow here. Like, I mean, like, despite the weirdness of these unrecognizable footprints, you're able to follow them pretty consistently. They actually don't have much, degeneration and consistency. Like, it's a pretty obvious trail. And you follow it along the rocky ridge line. You can still see, like, you know, look off to one side and see Hank slowly making his way down that steep trail. You can still hear the idle chatter of Dallas kind of echoing up the gully as he and Roderick are belaying down below. They and Roderick. And kind of like keep following. And this is not like a mountain summit per se. It's a ridgeline summit. So it gives this really nice breathtaking view of the surrounding wilderness and the presidential range. But there is kind of like a peak to it at one point, like a part of the ridgeline that's higher than most. You're just kind of like idly walking up towards following these steps. And as you kind of like crest a bit of the ridgeline, you go cold. You break out into a sweat. You feel a sick wrenching of your gut as at the very summit of this ridgeline is a perfectly pristine set of basement stairs that ascend up to nothing.
Okay, I'm spending a crown, please.
Can I just say, this is another preemptive star, fucking love the rationalization move mechanic of being like, yeah, weird things from previous things, they can keep haunting this guy. So fun. So fun.
Mike is just having a really bad day again.
Actually, I know you're barking a crown. I am going to retcon what I said. It's not basement stairs. It is the exact same metal spiral staircase you went up previously.
Worse. Yeah,
that's worse. It's the exact same staircase that is on top stairs. Of this ridge. Yep.
Same stairs. Even scarier.
But you're still marking a crown. So that's fine. I will remind you that there is a rescue crown still available, I believe.
I'm going to just mark my own crown of the forest.
Okay, sounds good. Love that. Instead, clue with the complication. Look at my clues. I think we see Mike climb the top, and that's that same shot that we were just exploring where you kind of are surveying from above, looking around, and Mike turns around, jump scare, the staircase is right behind him, the spiral staircase, and we see Mike stumble back and blink furiously, and the stairs are not there. But they were definitely there, Mike. You're not crazy. You're not fucking crazy. The stairs were, but there's nothing there. However, where the stairs were, there is a smartphone lying on the ground.
Smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick up the smartphone gingerly.
It's face down on the, so it's like, you pick it up, you slowly turn it over. The screen is cracked. But strangely enough, it's on. It's not locked. It's just perfectly still on the open screen where someone was trying to text 911, which is a thing you can do for people who don't know. And you can still see that the keyboard is up. Like, it's still receiving prompt, but the little cursor is just flickering there as someone was typing out, "Please help, there is," and the cursor is just blinking. Unsent. That is your clue. As for your complication, oh, I'm going to be real fucking mean.
Oh, God.
I'm going to be real fucking mean to you right now. Are you ready for this chaotic?
No.
When you got jump scared by the stairs, your flashlight flew out of your hand and went tumbling down the rock gully.
Oh.
You lose that item.
Okay. To be fair, I already spent that item. But
yeah, I know. You spent it, but now narratively, you don't even have a flashlight.
I'm in the dark. I'm alone.
Not quite yet, but if it gets dark, you're screwed.
I do have some random, I do have a random smartphone on me, technically.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Very true. And the silver lining of the year award goes to, great. Sergeant Hank, going down the Chemin de Dames. I don't speak French. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I don't either, but it means like the... It means like the ladies' road, the ladies' road.
Okay.
And it's really challenging. And so I think it's based on like the name is like this is a road that ladies could stroll upon on a Sunday afternoon. I think that's the meaning. But then it's really super challenging.
Yeah, it's just a really challenging road. Yeah, this is a direct route down the King's Ravine. The incline is steep, but pretty much a straight shot down. The gray rocks are smooth, but iron safety rails have been mounted in several stops. Let's paint the scene. This trail would be much more dangerous if it was wet. What will make it especially treacherous at night?
It's moss, but when it gets wet, it has like the consistency of like algae, so very slippery and slimy.
There's some sudden turns that in the daytime is fine, but at night there's no guardrails, and so you could just step off and Hank sees like there used to be guardrails there and they rusted and they were never replaced. And we can hear Hank say, they got to get these guardrails back. It was so much safer, but you could be on your cell phone and walk right off of this thing.
I think the stairs are like the steps that you're going down. Not the stairs so much as like the various like steps you have to go down are uneven. And like, you need to like look to see where you're stepping. And so at night it's a little more treacherous because you can't actually judge where you're going.
To add on to that, typically when you're doing trail marking, you put blazes up or like orange or red or yellow markers or pink, like something that's clearly can be seen at night as well. But somebody who marked this fucking trail used like only green paint. And so it's just green, and it's not like neon green or lime green. It's Lincoln green. It's forest green. So it just blends in.
So, Mike, Roderick, Dallas, Hank, all of you notice the sun beginning to pass behind the peak of Mount Adams, a long shadow of gloomy darkness beginning to spread across the area. Nightfall is coming. Dallas, as for your role, you get down. You said you got a 9. Dallas? Yes, a 9. Gotcha. On a 9, I'm going to keep this as a very simple complication, which is just to say that, like, it's, again, I'm kind of going off in a weird direction with this. You're losing access to Mike's climbing gear as an item to use. Like, it's tied off and secured here. Like, you're not going to be able to, like, get it, you know, back down. You're maneuvering it. It's fixed here for sure. And you can only reclaim use of this item to be in your inventory if you go back to the top of the summit and specifically untie it off. That said, you can still mark it for advantage specifically if you are where it is when you need to make a roll for something. So I know it's a soft complication, but a weird one. So it's like you are narratively losing access to it outside of this specific part of the world.
Got it.
Like, I'll, it's only enough for this. Yeah, you can, like, make a note of that. As for your mountain clue, as you and Roderick are maneuvering your way down, something catches your eye. You're kind of, like, halfway down from the King's down the King's Ravine, the slope, kind of on a wide, flat ledge, and you stop. There is something carved into the cliff face here, Dallas. An arched doorway covered with strange symbols around the perimeter. It's just the arch and then just flat rock. There's no door, there's no handle. It's just the archway, symbols. But it is carved like there's a faint seam of a door there. And your mind begins to get a little sensation of disorientation, because on the one hand, you can tell that the seam is just a small carved rut. There is no depth to it. On the other hand, there is a faint green light that looks like it's leaking out from the crack of the door. Coincidentally, Roderick can see this too, not just Dallas, because you're both down here.
Do I see the same sort of, like, the weird light as well? Okay, yep. I wanted to make sure that wasn't just
Dallas. You know how in, like, the Hobbit movies, for all their flaws, it's like when they get, like, the moonlight on the secret door, it's like, the area is growing gloomier and darker, this green light is becoming slightly more pronounced.
Yeah, I was gonna look behind us for a missing person, obviously, instantly, but this is very distracting. And I almost reach out to touch it, like, to see if it's like, because this isn't the stairs, this isn't something I've been warned about, you know? I, like, look at Dad, I'm like, what the hell is this? And I, like, reach out to touch it to see if it has more depth than we think it does.
Dallas is going to put out a hand real quick and, like tentatively, like, touch your hand to push it away. Oh. And I'm going to say, 1 second. And then you hear the click, click, click of the smartphone.
Okay.
Taking photos of it.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. I don't want to mess up whatever the hell this is, if it's relevant.
And then going to adjust that back in, like, the center strap of the backpack that has a built-in, like, where GoPros or smartphones can go so you can record. And then say, okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I don't want to mess up, like, evidence or whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. And so I reach out and touch it to see if it, like, if it's painted on, like if this green is maybe like an optical illusion and maybe somebody's been vandalizing out here. Like that's my first thought is vandals. And I'm like, Hank's gonna be pissed. So Hank and Mike are gonna be so pissed about this every time. People keep putting shit out here.
Mm-hmm. Has hit record on video, watching and seeing what happens when Roddy touches the door and
what
everything.
Happens? What happens when I touch it? Does anything happen? You're muted, my friend. There you go.
Am I muted or can you not just hear me because of the buzzing?
Ah!
You
fucker.
Reach out with your hand. Your fingertips brush against the stone of the cliff. What do you do?
I'm trying to see if it has depth or if it's paint. So I'm like trying to
in the seam.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to touch the seam to see if somebody's actually carved into this rock face.
It's kind of like run a finger or hand over that space. It's so narrow and thin, you could slip a pry bar into it, but your fingers just kind of find the divot, kind of like running along it, kind of like trying to scrape with your nails to see if it's anything's flaking off. You kind of like put your ear up against it, just listening to it. And you think you hear something, but also maybe it's just the buzzing. You've got pretty sure you have. It's probably tinnitus, right? It's got to be tinnitus. It's got to be.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean, it's strange. Just this hum in the drum. And then as you're just kind of listening, you feel a passing of a slight air, like a draft that just slightly passes through the crack. But it feels hot. Like someone breathing heavily also on the other side of the door. I need you to make the risky move for facing something scary. What are you afraid of happening here?
Honestly, I'm afraid, like my first thought is probably a more rational one, that this is some sort of like heat vent. That I have like some sort of like volcanic heat vent that like we fucking found. Like, I'm not super outdoorsy. I can't like pretend I know that that's where these things are, but that's like the only thing I can rationalize, even if my first thought is someone is on the other side of this door. So I think it's the irrational someone's on the other side of this made up door, and the other is, oh shit, it's a volcanic heat
vent. Yeah.
So, okay, risky move.
Plus just your composure.
Okay.
Now, here's a good question. I want to get Daniel's ruling on this, because the medic has the plus one composure while in the forest. Does this count as the forest, like the national forest counts as?
Yeah, it's probably changed to like the wilderness or something.
The wilderness, yeah. Okay, I like that.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I have three.
Three.
Didn't matter. I rolled 2 1s. Snake eyes, baby. Pulling a mic over here.
Oh God! Fuck
let's
you.
let's take our first break. Let's take 10. Okay. And when we come back, we'll see what happens with our intrepid first responders. All right. Before we check in with what just happened to Roderick, Sergeant Hank, what are you doing on your climb down the trail?
I'm stopping at an overlooked vista, and I've got my cell phone out, and I'm calling to expand the search as night's starting to fall. Like this took a lot longer than it should have to get up here. And so now I'm worried that it's going to be night and the fallen photographer is still down there. And so I want to expand the search.
As always, pick up the phone, dial the number. You're here on the other end. Go for embargo.
Yeah, just an update for you, David. We're up here on King's Ravine. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hank, you're coming in a little. I think you're stabilizing. Okay. Yep. I can hear you.
I can hear you. Okay.
Yep. I can hear you. There we go.
We've got the guide. He's okay. Yeah. sort of a little banged up, but we still haven't located the fallen the nature photographer. He's down there somewheres, and we're here, we're on the scene, we're going down, but it's starting to get dark and I don't know if we're gonna be able to get back. So I'd like to expand the search and bring in some other teams, especially down at the bottom where we could really use the light.
Sergeant McBride, roll plus your presence, no disadvantage from puzzled.
What is my presence?
Zero.
Oh, okay.
Unless you want to mark David Umbargo's personal number now, but.
No, I've got an eight.
Got an eight. Can you read the move?
Yes. If I can find the, there it is. Okay. Expand the search. Once per rescue, you may request additional personal support from the forced supervisor, David Umbargo, role. And on a, and so with an eight, I'm asking for like probably even those volunteers with the ATVs to, because I want their lights is what I'm looking for. And so that's going to happen. But because I rolled an eight and not a 10, they may suggest some, David may suggest some alternate plans, or it might take a while for those ATV guys to get here with their lights, the volunteers. So it's up to the keeper what the complication is.
I think it'll just take a while. Like, it, I mean, that makes sense for the region right now. Yeah, I think, you know, and David says, all right, you got it there, Hank. I'll start messaging those volunteers right away. Get those ATVs rolling out. You know, it might take a moment, but hey, I will get them on your trail.
Appreciate it, David. And we still have some light, but the sooner the better, because we're pretty sure this guy's injured.
Yeah, no worries. Oh, hey, did you feel all those TPS reports? And then hang up. just really feel like going Office Space with him every time. Very good. Mike. What do you do?
Well, since the sun is starting to go down, mm-hmm. I think something catches my eye, actually. Something. Something I've really never seen like this before.
Oh, I see we're using your move.
Yeah. Despite me seeing a lot of supernatural stuff, sometimes odd things get a little bit, and I think like as I am like sort of dusting myself off, like my head hit something. It's not hard or anything, but it's like it makes like a tinkling noise, like and I look up, and the last few lights of the setting sun like hit it, and it gleams. It's bits of glass that are hanging from trees tied together with string.
Is this a clue or a mountain clue?
It's a clue.
Okay, gotcha. So you don't have to mark your thing here. Go ahead and add that clue to the sheet. Very good.
I think that it's naturally explained by it's odd or uncanny.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd agree. It puts the group at 9 clues.
Yes.
Which is plenty, honestly. Meanwhile, check back in with Roderick on your missed roll. There is a searing flash of heat that comes as you're pressed up against the door listening, and you feel that hot wind, and you have the thought of, oh, get away before like it's some kind of thermal vent possibly, but there's also the other part of your brain that's recognizing this is something maybe supernatural. And as you're moving away from the door just in case, once again, there are two parts of your mind. One that is trying to rationalize and one that sees but doesn't understand. The rationalization part of you thinks this thermal vent just discharged and burned. And like, you know, it's nothing severe, thankfully. But the other part of you understand, well, witnesses, but doesn't understand. You're not technically close enough by the time you're moving away for that kind of heat to burn. And for the quickest of seconds, surely not, but it, you swear maybe. The green light flared. And you think you felt every hair on your body stand up for a second, and that this burn might be electrical, like a lightning kind of discharge. You feel this searing heat that reddens your face, and you stumble back, and the grounding here is very treacherous. And you need to immediately make a dangerous move to not fall off the ledge.
Oh man.
Hey, Mike, you have a move. You have a move for this. Not Mike, sorry. Roderick, you have a move for this.
I do, actually.
The medic has a move for this.
I do.
That's why I did it. That's why I did it. I wanted to show off this move we haven't used yet.
Yes, I was like, we haven't used this yet. So I'm actually, instead of doing a dangerous move, I can use the additional move prior military service to downgrade a dangerous move to a risky move, as long as I narrate how my military training prepared me for this moment.
Very good.
So this is a fun thing. Finally, I get to use it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Teed it up for you.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you, Alex. So instead of a dangerous move, I'm going to make a risky move, because this isn't the first time I have been on sort of treacherous ground. This isn't the first time I've dealt with it. Probably the first time I've dealt with this, the door, but not the first time that I have climbed mountains or had to not fall to my death. So, how do I roll a risky move? The same way, right?
Yeah, it's just the same way. It's going to be plus. Let me double check something real quick. I want to make sure that the because the rescue sheet says something about the rough terrain. Yeah, using vitality for this.
Okay.
The buzzing would not get in the way here, and yeah, I mean, obviously, you're just afraid of falling off, like
yeah, falling like, to my death.
Luckily, because you're downgrading into the risky move, it won't be to your death, probably just to injury.
Yes. It is a 7.
Okay.
So what is that? Is that a...
That is, you succeed just with the cost.
Okay. And obviously I can justify whatever happens more with the prior military service move. I just have no idea how the hell is this going to go.
I need to check something real quick.
Okay.
To see if I can even do this.
Do it.
Technically, Daniel didn't write anywhere that explicitly says the keeper can't do this. But this is the most inconvenient thing I can possibly throw at you for the context of the situation, I feel like narratively, which is as you kind of go stumbling, you know, you stumbling back and going to the ledge and quickly managing to like scramble, like grab the head. You're still like, you're still secured by the rope. So you just kind of actually like have this, like you slide off the ledge and you fall for like, free for a few minutes before there is a whipping snap as like the rope goes taut. Luckily, not enough to break your fucking back, but really, really gonna leave you sore in the morning. You kind of hit the side of the cliff face hard, but managed to like scramble to like grab some of like the rocks to steady yourself so as not to go too wild. But from the impact and scrape, there is a distinct clicking dislodge as the lightweight litter that you were having on you for the sake of rescuing a fallen person unclips from your back and goes tumbling down the gully into the marsh below.
No!
You lose the lightweight litter. Unless you take actions to go retrieve it. But it is. It falls all the way down.
Oh my god! Can I mark the... a crown?
Yeah, you could. Crown? You can absolutely mark a crown.
Yeah, I was to like, avoid we that can't... happening. Yeah, I'm gonna mark a crown to the mountain because I feel like that's the Shadows Grow Deep is very
fucking apt so here. Apt. Yeah. Like then in the that case, apt. You upgrade it to a 10. Narrate what happens instead. You get narrative control.
All right. I think instead of the free fall that snaps the litter off of the pack, like it's we flashback to as Roddy starts to stumble back and almost falls off, and then it's a reflex that saves him of grabbing that ledge right as he tumbles off. And it's definitely gonna be so it's gonna be sore in the morning, that shoulder, because I caught my whole weight on that ledge, but the rest of nothing hits the backpack and the rest of it stays secure.
Very good.
Shit, Roddy, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Holy shit, one second. And I'm just gonna try to like get back to either where I was or stabilize myself. Jesus, I think, don't touch that. I think that's some sort of, I don't know, thermal vent or something.
Yeah, that was pretty fucked. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna mark it here and everything like that, and okay. Just take a note for like, don't touch it, and we can probably get some people to come out here and analyze it and everything and make sure that it's like safe, unsafe, what needs to be taken care of it. Okay,
I'm gonna go with unsafe, but you know what? Probably
absolutely,
does need to
absolutely,
be
yeah. It's just
don't touch that fucking thing.
Absolutely not. Yeah, let's go ahead and get down the rest of the way. I'm glad you're okay, buddy.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, we're good.
Don't apologize. No. It's okay. We're good. And it's gonna look back one more time towards the doorway, and you just see the green glow on Dallas's face as like eyes light up, and it's like, fuck yes.
I love it.
As the area grows darker, do we think it's time to answer the rescue question?
Oh yeah.
We've got 9 clues for a complexity 4. Which will allow you to locate and attempt to rescue Rex Barnaby and unlock an extra fun question. Let's review the clues we have. We have 9 right now. So let's see. There was the drone clues, the first ones, which was a dark shape seen moving into the ravine, a slight shimmering in the air over this region of the King's Ravine of the forest. Volunteer reports of hearing an animal growling or hissing in the underbrush that kind of like scared them off of deeper searches. The trail guide swore that something pushed them off the ridgeline, preceded by the overwhelming stench of human body odor. Mike saw scratch marks on the cliff face leading up to the summit, the notice of unrecognizable footprints around the summit area. The drone noticed the mass spooking of animals. Mike found presumably someone's smartphone with an unsent text in 911, and also bits of glass hanging from the trees atop the summit. And the question is, where is the fallen photographer? Complexity 4. Whoever wants to kick this off, be my guest.
So definitely, we can just go ahead and say the fallen photographer is in the ravine, I'm guessing. Someone, mm-hmm. Something pushed them off of the ravine, a stench of human body odor.
I think with the scratch marks, what a mark explained, not used yet. With the climbing up the face, that's also shows like they're down there. Hold on there. I don't think the unrecognizable footprints is explaining where they are at.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, they can be used to contextualize the fact that they were pushed.
Yeah,
because it, they were. Mean, like, is that something did push them down there?
Mm-hmm. Or the direction, or the direction that they were pushed. We could go that route.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, like, the footprints are leading away from the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And what, away from the ravine. So, like, that's my...
Yeah, that's interesting.
Now, let's, yeah, I will say, like, one of the things I'll say, like, just to get more specific with this theorizing is not just saying in the ravine. Like, this is great, a great start. Let's also maybe point an angle as to, like, where down there he might be, because there is all, there's, and use some clues to contextualize that, there is, like, a marshy kind of area at the bottom of that. Or it could even be somewhere else fallen. I don't know. It's like, allow that to also get some, like, specificity in your
here.
It could be the mass spooking of the animals that the wounded photographer is making, like, groaning sounds, and it's freaking animals out, or the shimmering. I don't remember where the slight shimmering in the air, where
that was on, like, the sort of the on top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the drone saw that there was, like, an like a shimmering distortion in the air over this ravine area, like, this entire region of the wilderness had this, like, weird distortion on camera.
We might want to keep that for whatever next question comes up, if we want to answer that one.
Yeah, because that one's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the mass spooking of animals, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I could do agree with that. The smartphone obviously belongs to the guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it clearly indicates that something was wrong up there.
Do we want to switch out the unrecognizable footprints with the smartphone?
Yeah,
because if there's any kind of clarification that we need for the future question of, like, what exactly happened or anything like that, I think the footprints would help with that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And the same with the bits of glass and the shimmering.
So how does the smartphone point to where he is? I want to make sure, like, yeah, go ahead.
I think it's just a general matter, after whatever pushed him off, like, he was okay. So he was wandering about. It's like I was trying to get help and whatnot, but I think he spotted something and dropped his phone and started running off in a different direction.
Very interesting that it then showed up at the top of the summit he fell from.
Absolutely.
Almost like it was given to Mike.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very creepy. I will also throw in a thing there. I also think maybe he has, like, a fucking, like, Fitbit or something that's on, like, so you can, like, maybe there's like a track, like, you know, a track my location kind of thing on the phone as well. But I think that's also very good. I like that.
I mean, and I think the, I don't know if we addressed the human body odor thing. I think that's like, and the smartphone being up there is also kind of indicates that it was a person that did it and maybe took the phone,
you know? Interesting.
And, like, went back up. I mean, because there's all of this sort of humanoid activity, and maybe it was... I mean, I know it's not one of the clues, but Mike did say that he saw people out here. So,
oh, fascinating. That takes some very interesting. Okay, so let's see here. So we're saying that the dark shape moving into the ravine was Rex. Was that, like, you, like, maybe you caught him, like, limping or, like moving injuredly through, like, the bottom of the ravine, like, trying to, like, go for help somewhere. Okay. You're saying that they were pushed off by possibly people. Strange. But that gives you an idea for, like, where the falling may have gone, just by, like, looking at the scene of where things were knocked over. What were the scratch marks on the cliff face to climb up? Because that was on the opposite side that Mike saw those. So, like, what did we say that the scratch marks were all about?
I think, like, it was originally trying to climb up. It's just giving us a timeline of where this guy has been wandering around in the woods, like, because he didn't stay
He's lost and disoriented. Like, he made it to the other side of the ridge, but, like, it's clearly in a disoriented and injured state, and, like, it just been in like, it's just lost and getting wandering around injured. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. The mass spooking of animals, what did we say that was again? Just indicating his location.
Yeah, it's indicating where he is, right?
So where is he?
He's down in the ravine where the animals were spooked. Like, he's in that. He's down there.
What's that region like? Is what I'm asking. Like, what is that like?
I think it's it's like on the edge of the marshland. Yeah. Like that kind of edge. I think maybe Rex started wandering into the marshland and realized it was super kind of marshy and swampy and was like, I'm not equipped for this. And like, and so has been kind of wandering around that seam line, mm-hmm. trying to find a way out.
I like that. Everything. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. A little border. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's four, no, it's five clues used. So that, I mean, that would be a plus one to the answer. Whoever wants to give that roll.
Not me.
Daniel?
Let's roll. Okay. It's not good.
Oh, no.
Oh, no!
It's not good.
Not good. What'd you get, Daniel?
Is it plus one?
Yep.
Okay, that gives us a seven.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
I thought we were doing it flat. Okay. I thought we were doing a flat roll.
No, no, because you got a plus one. I was going to say, because like if you had missed that, this is one of those questions where it's like, it's not a threshold question technically. So it's like, it doesn't like be like, all right, the other thing is, no, it's like, you're wrong. You don't lose those clues, but you need to find more to answer it again. And also I get to have a reaction. So thankfully.
Was it a flat roll or did it have a plus one?
It had a plus one. Yeah. Okay. So thankfully, that's a seven. Oh. So on a seven, as always, I will add an unwelcome complication to the answer and are pursuing the opportunity will be more dangerous, obviously. But let's first talk about the next question you guys unlock as part of this, because I will remind you, you guys now have the opportunity to find Rex and now attempt to rescue him. You have a number of tools at your disposal that might make that easier as well with playbook moves. But the next question, and I talked with Daniel a little bit about this over the break because I realized that we can actually add a bit more oomph to it, and I think it was the right move. The next question is, what does the not deer want? Now, if you answer that question, that's complexity four. If you answer that question, you will also get the opportunity to strike a bargain with the not deer and convince it to leave this reality. If you do this, you will get advantage on the rationalization move for this rescue. Or alternatively, now that we've added, like, well, that's what we and Daniel said, and I said over break. Now I'm also thinking, like, considering we've also added these white-robed figures as a possible cause in this thing as well, I'd also be willing to just say that the not deer would not be an option for failing the rationalization move, and it would instead be this other phenomena. So I'm a little flexible on that, but either way, the mechanical addition would be some benefits to the rationalization move, or you can just say fuck it and hope that you don't deal with the not deer more later. Up to you.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Damn.
I'd rather not be haunted twice.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems bad. It seems like maybe we should get rid of this thing. Do we have enough clues for that?
Yeah, four.
Or should we get more?
So I'll say,
try, because I mean, that seems like a pretty risky fail, considering what this thing is.
Because I'll remind you, yeah, these are not threshold questions. So if you get them wrong, you have to find more clues to attempt another answer, and I still get to react. So like, it'll get dangerous if you're wrong. So consider the consequences. Yeah, Daniel.
How about we go to the rescue phase to go and get Rex, the photographer, but then others of us are trying to deal with the deer and we're trying to find more clues to deal with the deer. So we like split up. Some of us are trying to get Rex out and then the others are trying to like sort out the deer.
So like, since me and Dallas are like going down towards where he is, where Rex is, we'd be like dealing with him, because I also have the litter, and then you and Mike would be sorting out the not deer. You poor things.
I was gonna say, like, so like, because I the rescue phase is technically a thing, and I didn't really do this last time, but I was gonna ask to hear what the plan is for the rescue. Now, like, and that's really the only, like, there's no really mechanical difference, but it's just mostly just hearing like a concise plan. I honestly think that the complication here, the pursuing the thing more dangerous, is that one, it's about to be full night, and also the not, I'm going to use the not deer a lot more than I was planning to with some reactions to things. Like, it's going to be, you're kind of hunted tonight, gang. I think that's the dangerous consideration. So it sounds like the plan is to at least I would imagine, although like chaotic, you have full agency here. I would imagine though that Mike is in camp not deer of like, I'm dealing with the supernatural thing, maybe with another, but while other people are doing the rescue. I don't know. We'll see. I'd like to hear what everyone's plan is for the rescue phase then.
My only request is that I have a buddy.
2x2, stick together like glue.
Yes. Mike needs a buddy.
Some sad.
Does somebody else want to be on? Does Dallas want to be on Team Not Deer or Team
Team Supernatural?
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. Yeah, I think Dallas would probably be like, look, Hank has so many years of experience, and Roddy is like our medic. Like, that's the guy.
Maybe that's why you justify it to Roderick, is instead of leaving and going down the climb, you just let him know that, like, you're going to go confer with Mike. Like, you'll just climb up. Since you guys saw that Mike was still like surveying, he's like, okay, you're going to go grab Mike. You go ahead and head down. Like, yeah, you're climbing back up. And that's where you two will reconvene on point there. So that's
like stick around here, make sure that you're like, you know, probably setting up like an FOB here to go and grab the guy, leave behind some bark, so that you can have something to chew on and everything like that, to munch on, snack on.
He's so white.
And then go on up.
Oh my god. Thanks, Dallas. Bart
Moss Data Solutions. We're thinking about buying Cliff Bar, so we're trying out
some new
snacks.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Also,
so
let me know what you think.
Cool. Yeah.
So Hank and Roderick are our team rescue Rex. What's your plan for that, you two?
To get down to the marsh and find him where we think he is, and we don't have like probably really good flashlights. We have like pin lights and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like one of those little red light headlamps.
And then I'm just going to keep trying to contact the volunteers to try to steer them towards where we are and get him to the volunteers.
Yeah. And
check him out, see if he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's like, I can't justify doing anything other than making sure this dude's okay. That's like my one job. Like, that's why I'm here. And that's the plan. And if he's transportable, we have a litter. If he can walk, he can walk. If he can't, we'll go from there. And
you'll have the litter. Like, you, that's what you have. That's literally there. Yeah.
You know, but we'll do what we gotta do.
Okay. We'll start first with Mike and Dallas, and get a scene with them. As Mike, you're coming down from that summit back towards where the others were before everyone split their separate ways. The sky now is a very dim twilight, as you've lost your flashlight and you're about to lose any sense of the region around you. When you hear a sound and you look over and you see Dallas climbing up over the ridgeline.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, could have been worse, really. I mean, it could have been better, but it could have been much worse. Oh, Dallas, how's the search been going?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, I think we found where Rex ran off to.
Mm-hmm.
Roddy and Hank are going to take care of that. But there's some weird shit going on here.
Of course, it's the White National Forest. There's always weird shit. You're going to need to be a little bit more specific. Are we talking about literal weird shit? Are we talking about supernatural weird shit? Are we talking about something that you just don't understand about the forest? Because, like, I know everything. A deer. You saw a deer.
But, like, not...
a not deer.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of looks like a spider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes weird hissing noises.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're a decent tracker, right?
Yes.
And I've got a number of tools, points, you know, points at like the phone with the drone and everything like that, that like maybe we could kind of like track this thing down, see what it's doing.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the rescue covered, you know, and they're like the searching and rescuing and everything like that. But like, come on, Mike, you and I are, you know, we're built different.
Yeah, you're certainly built different.
And
Dallas, I have a question for you. You're going to need to be upfront with me. Why are you wanting to engage with the supernatural of this forest?
I think it's better for everybody involved, including myself and including you and the rest of the team, that you understand what's going on here. I mean, what if you get out on a search and rescue mission and weird shit starts happening and you don't know how to handle it? Then not only have we lost the person that we're looking for, but we lose you as well. And that's something that I don't want to invest in. The loss of more life.
Invest in. Of course.
I mean, do you want to invest in more loss of human life? Is that kind of your thing?
You know what? Never mind. Yeah, I can agree to that.
Okay.
But
Mike, I'm not coming for your job, buddy.
No, I don't think you could ever come for my job anyways. And like, I think like as like we come back down to the sort of area where like my 4x4 ATV is at, like, I know mechanically I can't get anything from it, but I think like I take out like a bag of just a regular sized flashlight. I click it on, I shine it in Dallas's face. So come on. I know how to track this thing down. And I'm gonna head out into the woods trying to find this thing.
We cut to the base of the steep ridge, where there are many fallen trees that drowned long ago in the marsh. Other tall grass and weeds have grown up in the area. The standing water is teeming with all manner of insects, including dragonflies and mosquitoes. To paint the scene, the mud is too wet to leave visible tracks, but evidence lets you know someone or something has been through here recently. What is it?
I think that there's... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say those unrecognizable tracks, they're up on top of King's Ravine. They're also down here in the swamp for the marsh.
Interesting. I was going to say that the sort of the reeds and what have you, there's like they're broken in parts, the way you can tell when someone's moved through them or something is moved through them.
I really don't have anything for this.
Fun.
I just like this little bit of detail and everything. Go for it. But the woods are quiet, which is never a good sign.
All the wildlife has been stilled to silence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something came through here. Love how animals are a really good detector of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
In that case, Roderick and Sergeant McBride, you two meet up in the dark marshes.
Oh, shit. Ah, good to see you, Hank. Glad you made it down. Glad I made it down. I think we know where this guy is. So
yeah, we just need to follow the edge of this marsh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little nervous about calling out to him though, yeah. Just because this is weird. Let's try to move quietly and use these pin lights to locate him.
I think that might be the best idea. It's kind of weird out here.
They used to give us infrared goggles for these kind of things.
Shit! Why didn't they give us them now? That's cool.
Budget.
Fucking budget cuts. Jesus. Dallas.
You two spread out within reasonable distance of one another, moving to the agreed upon location. It's a little hard with the darkness, but it's not pitch yet. It's barely. It is somewhere between a deep black and the darkest navy you've ever seen. Like, it is, the sky is so close to full dark, but not quite. Sure enough, you two are going to find Rex Barnaby in this spot you expected. This kind of like space between like the pine forest where it gives way to the marshy area. I imagine we see some like boulder outcroppings, just some kind of like terrain. And now it is complete darkness as you two come walking up, beams of small pen lights cutting through the gloom. We hear ragged breathing, the shot of Hank and Roderick moving through the woods illuminates a silhouette in the foreground of a figure slumped up against the boulders. Rex Barnaby, battered. You can see that he has a smearing of blood down one side of his face from a head injury and is cradling an arm that is bent at a not too healthy angle. Thankfully, no bones through the skin, but definitely a broken arm. And he is going into shock. I mean, that would be obvious to like Roderick immediately. Conscious, he's been without water probably for several hours now. And immediately see him going into shock. What do you two do?
I'm going to do my medic thing. I think this is Roderick's wheelhouse. This is like, he might not know like what squirrels do, or, you know, might not be an expert rock climber, but he does know how to treat someone going into shock in the field.
Yep. And because of your move, you were able to stabilize side characters, save their lives. No role required. You're a fucking professional, Mike. You're helping, you know, you probably like pull out like a shuck, like a space blanket to like wrap around him and just like get him like, you know, secured and all that. Yeah, his leg's also fucking broken. There's no way that he's walking here, but that's what the litter is for.
Yep. And I have marked on my first aid kit. That was like part of the
That was a complication I gave you. You're able to easily stabilize him and save his life. But you know, this man is in bad shape and he's going to need all the help he can get. As you're loading him up on the litter, you've got, you know, I mean, honestly, you're probably you probably got a fucking saline bag that you've like you got like a field IV that you've tapped into him because of how dehydrated he is, able to just kind of get some fluids in him, while you're managing his or assessing his current state. And as you and Hank are kind of like hoisting the litter just to kind of like move him to like a better location while you're deciding what to do next, Rex is just kind of grabs like with his good arm, grabs kind of like at you, Hank, and just kind of says, "We gotta get out of here."
Mr. Barnaby, you have a firm grasp of the obvious. That's exactly what we're doing.
What are you two doing?
Walking.
Yeah.
So I think Hank's on the front of the of this litter. so that Roddy can keep an eye on Mr. Barnaby. And so I'm leading us into the woods away from King's Ravine and deeper into the woods where I know the ATVs are. They're supposed to be here.
Like the meetup point, like where you imagine they're going to be coming from. Yeah. Gotcha.
And where it's not so freaking marshy. So like, it's not dangerous to lay that litter down if we need to, or.
I want to say that while that Roderick has point on Rex and surveying his condition and all that, Hank, you can kind of like, and you like set him down to kind of like, you know, and Hank, you're moving ahead just to kind of like keep track of things. Hank, I think you need to roll the risky move for navigating. I mean, you have a pen light, thankfully. So like narratively, it would be the dangerous move otherwise. But it's also very disorienting out here. It's full dark and this crew is taking a while to show up and you're trying to navigate to a reasonable meeting point. I do think that this is going to be the risky move. I could see it being reason or composure, depending on, because I think they're the same number considering you're, well, you're in the woods. So yeah, it would be, you get the extra bonus, the boost of composure anyway. So I guess it's just a narrative detail of whether or not this is more of an analytical thing or like a focus thing. But what are you afraid of happening, in this situation?
I'm definitely afraid that we're going to get to a place where the ATV support can't reach us as easily. Like not that we're going to get lost, but we're not going to be able to connect with the ATVs.
Very good. All right. You'll have disadvantage from puzzled.
Yay. I don't think I have anything that will help.
Oh no.
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. I'm going to mark the photograph of the volleyball team because, back then, the volleyball team, we used to do a lot of training here, especially night land nav. And so we used to have
competitions. Good old days.
We used to have competitions. The whole team would come out and then we would go and get Coors Light and volleyball and do all this with our shirts off.
All right.
I'm going to mark that.
Hell yeah. Then,
I love it. We get a flashback. It's great.
It's pretty good. I got a 9 and then a 2, 9, 10, 11. We're good.
11. Hell yeah. Go ahead and narrate what happened. I will say that if you mark a crown to bump it up to a 12, your extra benefit will be that the ATV crew shows up now. They arrive.
Yeah. Okay. I'll mark a crown so that we can, we finally reach a trail. We're coming out of the woods and the it's not as thick anymore and we're not getting hit in the face with limbs. And as soon as I look down with a pin light, I'm like, this is the trail. This is it. We can hear the engines and see the lights coming through the trees. Awesome. So I'll mark a mask.
All right. Mark a crown. One of your own or the rescue one?
I'll ask the group on that one because, we still have something else to do. What do you think?
Do you feel that I'm going to be lucky? That's the question.
I'm going to mark one of my own.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to mark one of my own.
Smart. Cool. Love that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, smart. Go ahead and mark one of your own. Then for all intents and purposes, I mean, Roderick and Hank, you two are able to reconnoiter with the ATV crew and get Rex Barnaby and the litter loaded up on them so they can begin getting him back. Are you going with him? Are you accompanying them? Are you getting out of here? Are you trusting Dallas and Mike to peel back from the scene themselves, or what is your approach here?
I almost think Roddy probably would go back because the guy's hurt so bad.
Yeah, like that's kind of the thing is I can't rationalize leaving this dude unless there are other EMTs.
There are not.
Oh God, I gotta save this dude.
The request was just for the volunteers and the ATVs to get here. So for
hell no, I'm not leaving with volunteers.
I'm gonna ask a volunteer because I slip in late. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna ask a volunteer for a couple of flashlights, and I'm gonna go try to find Mike and
Dennis. All right, We see Roderick and the volunteers leaving on the ATVs while Sergeant Hank walks off into the dark woods.
Man.
We had Wes step away for a work thing. Let's take a break just to like five, maybe give enough time. Literally, as I say that, Wes sends a text saying, hey, can we take a break? Hey, let's take five. And when we come back, we will see what happens before we wrap the session up. Ooh. So, yeah, see you in five. We see Mike and Dallas moving through the darkness of the pine forest beneath the ridge, shining a not great flashlight, but a functioning one for the time being. What are you two doing?
I think Mike is keeping close to the ground, trying to like see and if there's any tracks, but it's very muddy out here, so like it's pretty difficult. I think he's just keeping an ear out for any noises, bird calls, any rush of the brush, and just the lack of certain noises, because at this time of year there should be creatures roaming about making their nightly calls, like nocturnal animals and whatnot. So
indeed. Well, if you go ahead and roll the search move before I do anything, search move plus reason.
God, my reason's so bad.
Yeah. And with disadvantage because the not deer is watching.
Oh, God. Oh, cat, please. What can I use?
I love being hard on Mike.
Because this could be a little pushing the use of my items, but could I take out my turkey call to try to mimic another animal in order to like draw out
other? We could just say there's a decent turkey population in this region of the forest anyway, so if it hunts turkey, then like, I don't know, we can contextualize it. I don't think you could make a different bird sound with a turkey call, but we can just say that maybe that there are just a lot of turkeys in the area, so maybe it hunts them. I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know anything about animals.
There you go. So you can mark the turkey call to roll to mitigate that disadvantage.
Fuck. I hate this. I hate my dice.
Truly, you need new dice.
It's a five.
Incredible.
Absolutely cursed is Mike. Mike does not have long to live in this world.
So I'm gonna do two things here. First of all, one of them is gonna really sound like a mountain clue. It's not. It's me using my cracks in reality reaction to narrate these little details. They don't actually count as mountain clues. And then the other thing will be the actual complication. So I'm going to have it be like, I'm going to use that as, and then, yeah, so anyway. A bird, bigger than a robin, smaller than a crow, lands on a nearby branch as you spin your light onto it. And instead of cawing or tweeting out of its long black beak, it emits a hiss. You notice that in the light that its feathers are gray and is missing several of them in large tufts around its neck, and its feet revealing patches of this scaly gray hide. That's distracting for one thing.
Extremely.
But the actual complication of your miss you're kind of on this like you're still up on the ridgeline, but it's where it's like sloping down steadily to this like kind of like dips below. It's actually, you know, you're not following the trail to go down deeper into the woods. You're kind of up here, but there's a fair amount of trees around at this part, but you're still near kind of this ridge line that looks over the dark rest of the valley. And there's a a quick scuttling sound of sinuous movement.
Oh, I want to put her
and
around.
Rapid. Oh, I'm not done yet. Let me finish narrating. Scuttling extremely quickly from nowhere, the not deer comes charging out and butts its head into Mike. This will be a dangerous move with your vitality to avoid falling to your death unless you put on a crown.
I'm going to put on a crown, please.
There you go. Thank you for letting me narrate the whole complication.
I'm impatient.
Well, which crown are you going to mark? Your own or one of the or the rescues?
I'm marking a rescues.
The crown of black antlers receives its mark, which I will read that out loud. Each first responder narrates a flashback to when they were not certain what animal it was they encountered in the wilderness. That is for everybody to answer at some point. We'll probably do those next session at the top during the, we'll do all these during the out of the woods phase, because we can do a lot of reflection on your characters. So keep note of that. Instead, that was a search move, wasn't it? So you'll get a clue. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
With a complication. The complication is then going to just be in the sight of that weird fucking bird. How does Mike feel? And just in this whole situation, or just immediately in that moment?
Mike feels very alarmed, but because, like, even if this wasn't supernatural, which obviously is very supernatural, that means the local bird population has some sort of disease and pestilence, and that could infect the nature of the forest. And that's
Mike,
just
I'm
bad.
So happy to say this sentence. I would like you to take the condition, the birds.
Oh my god. First the stairs, now the birds.
As for your clue, there are so many things I could do with here, and you got a lot of clues so far. I'm gonna do a weird one that, like, that I was thinking of a different one, but I'm gonna go a different direction with that. You think you hear cicadas for a moment, its background noise like a buzz. Then you realize, wait a second, this part of the forest doesn't have a cicada population or something like that. And you kind of like listen carefully, and that faint sound is, there's an electronic buzzing sound that's coming from somewhere nearby. That is your clue. Dallas, you can also see the weird fucked up bird before it flies off. What are you doing?
I think there's a moment where Dallas is like reaping and sowing, and then like we need to be a little bit more investigative about this, but then has like a kind of and I am essentially going to be pulling out the whip to like essentially like clear animals out, like doing this, just like start making popping noises and everything like that. With
the idea
it,
of like, Dallas just going ha ha, just like cracking a whip in the darkness just to scare things around.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah, just like
hilarious.
Yeah, just like cracking the whip and everything, just like a very like stand your ground. Is New Hampshire a stand your ground state? with animal, I know it's a completely different thing. But fun. Yeah, it's just pulling out the whip, and it's like essentially like supporting Mike and just being like, there's like all this weird shit, and it's just like, and it seems to be overwhelming Mike a little bit, and so just like doing like a, just like a, let's bring a little bit of humanity into this a little bit, because we are clearly in a different area.
We cut to Sergeant Hank McBride, who is taking the long walk, trying to get back and get connect with Mike and Dallas. I feel like Sergeant Hank, you're kind of like ascending back up the trail again. Fucking woof, is hard on the old knees, I'd imagine. And just suddenly, very faint but prominent through just the night and the silence here, you just hear these faint like pops and an echoing ah ah. You just hear Dallas doing this whole thing. Yeah. Are you just walking back, or were you doing anything else on route? I'm just gonna get back in touch with them.
Do I kind of know where Mike and Dallas were looking?
You have a pretty good assumption they're still up at the summit. Like, it's not that, okay. Yeah.
So I'll start going back up the trail. That's yeah. Probably harder to go up than it is to come down.
Yeah, I was going to say for you, this is probably, since you have a light source, it's not going to be a dangerous move, but it is going to be risky plus vitality. What are you afraid of happening here, climbing up the trail?
That I'll miss my footing and fall backwards.
That's fair enough. So you can go ahead and roll plus your vitality. No disadvantage from puzzled. Just an arduous climb.
Got a 7, and I think my vitality is at a 1 or 0. 1. So I got an 8.
An 8. Okay. I'm going to give you the complication winded. I think that makes sense. You're just kind of, the climb just kicks your ass a little bit. As you ascend towards the top, you kind of have to, like, there's like a branch that you didn't take coming down, but you kind of like go up. It takes you kind of like up to where you think further down the ridge line that Mike and Dallas are at. In doing so, you kind of like pass through, like there's like a it's not quite a glade, because, you know, this is like, you know, this is a ridge. It's more of like a plateau, a wider plateau, kind of set along the King's Ravine gully. And you pause because, oh, there's a strange sight. There are piles of clothes and shoes all over this place. And sorted piles. Like easily 40 or 50 pairs of shoes piled up into a cairn. No evidence of anyone walking in or out of this area. And you swear on the name of Pensacola, Florida, that when you saw this ridgeline earlier, you did not see these here.
I'm shining the light on the, especially the big pile of shoes. And I'm trying to like picture hikers like skinny dipping or something, but there's no water up here. And I probably say in a Hank Hill voice, what the hell?
Do we think we want to attempt an answer at the question with our 5 clues? Or do we want to gather some more?
I just feel like if we continue like in this forest at night, like we're just gonna die.
Take a look at our condition so far, because Mike's got a full 3. Roderick's out of here, so Roderick's not even, is out of the rescue for now. Yeah, Hank's got 2, Dallas has got 1. I don't know, how are we feeling?
Let's answer this fucking question. Mike's having a not great time.
All I got is what it wants. All I get, this is, I'm just throwing us out there, is it the glass, the bits of glass that are hanging up, that is somehow what whoever summoned it here, like they're, that's like the bait for it. So that's all I got.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I definitely think that
we're establishing someone summoned it. That's also very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, like it's a sort of magical ritual, like that we've seen signs of it, the slight shimmering in the air. The strange electronic buzzing sound. And we generally have like seen like this creature sort of regulated to this area, like with its footprints around. We've heard it hissing and growling at us. Like it's meant to just stay here and not go anywhere else. So like
what does it want?
It wants to fulfill its promise. And I think the shoes have something to do with it. I don't know what, but
The shoes aren't a clue. The shoes are just a crack in reality of the mountains. But
yeah.
It's gotta be the glass. It's gotta be describe the glass again. What are the glass that was hanging up?
Yeah, it's glass that was hung by string into the tree branches and whatnot. And when like the sun went down, it reflected light into them.
I mean, it sounds like it just wants to go. If it was brought here, is summoned here, it just wants to go back. Or mm-hmm. like, it sounds like it's hostile because it's being kept here.
Yeah.
What is the slight shimmer in the air, though? I mean, you know, I know you're saying it's contextualizing of the, I mean, and the electronic buzzing. We can't just say, oh, those two things contribute to, you're like, no, what are they that are that like, where, what is the source of the sound? What is the shimmer? Oh, Wes has got an idea.
As a fan of Jeff Vandermeer and the Southern Reach trilogy and also all of Jeff Vandermeer's weird science books and horror books. Also a fan of Alex Garland's Annihilation, starring Natalie Portman, Oscar Isaac, and Tessa Thompson, and a bunch of those.
We know.
We're all familiar. The shimmer in the air could suggest that it is something that is warping and changing. Like it's not exactly a portal, but it's something that maybe it could have leaked from that doorway, maybe kind of tying in like the mastermind clue a little bit into that, of like something leaked out and it was this essence that has like warped and changed, and maybe it got this not dear and maybe it's going to get more, that kind of thing. Y'all can change that and fiddle with it.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
What's the electronic buzzing sound? Where's that coming from? How does that play into? Because seemingly that's pointing in the direction of someone of secondary involvement, and we already had the implication that it was not the not deer that pushed Rex and the guide over. It was another human being or someone human-esque.
Yeah. Well, didn't it's chaotic. You said it that someone summoned this thing. And am I allowed to contribute? Because I'm like out of here.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, you're fine.
I wanted to make sure that I wasn't like breaking a rule.
It's anyone.
You know, we've established these are like people who have summoned, opened this gateway, and the electronic buzzing. Like you also mentioned that like the weird electric shock that Roderick got was electric, and so there's like this element of sort of otherworldly electricity.
Oh, you're like hearing just forward. Like fucking like the electronic buzzing is like the electromagnetic discharge of
of
that other place. Fucking okay, we got it. Yep. So I'm in. Yep, I got everything. I'm content. And it just sounds like then the answer that you guys are aiming for is that the not deer just wants to go back and it's trapped here.
That's why it's pissy. Mm-hmm.
And
which is fair.
Interesting.
And we just have to get it to go back to where that shimmering field is.
Since the opportunity is to strike a bargain with it, I actually don't think the resolution is going to be to get it to necessarily leave this reality, as the question poses, given the context of it's been trapped here, but rather to bargain with it to chill the fuck out and stay isolated until you can later figure out a way for it to go back. I don't know. Maybe, because it's just like, because if it's not here of its own volition, then you don't sound anywhere near equipped to send that deer back, but maybe it's bargaining with it to just not be hostile the time being. Be cool, deer. Be cool.
Be chill.
Be cool and we'll take care of it for you. Yeah, Dallas is whipping in the background. Okay.
Be cool, man.
Who wants to make the roll at a +1?
Dallas, please.
Dallas, you're the first one to ever encounter the Not Deer back in session one.
That's true. Okay, plus one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's an 11, 6 plus 4 plus 1.
An 11.
We're rolling hot tonight.
Hell yeah. On the rescue move. On an 11. Answer is correct. The opportunity may be pursued. I will say, I'll spice things up for us to consider between sessions, because we're kind of talking about how we were like uncertain with like how resolving this thing might interact with the rationalization move. On this result, on the 10 plus, the opportunity can be pursued. I think that what we were talking about with the theory is it makes the most sense of bargaining with it to chill the fuck out. On a 12 plus on the theorize, the mountain will reveal itself in some way while you're pursuing the opportunity. I think if this were bumped up to a 12, and again, I'm not encouraging you to do that, I'm just saying that I'll just state my intent on that. That is the area that will allow the Not Deer to go back, because there will be an opening of the way. So if everyone here marks a crown, that's it, that we can bump it up to a 12, and means that the mountain will reveal itself in some way during the pursuit of this opportunity, which I think will, yeah, it seems like everyone is vastly into that idea.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Everyone mark a crown. And we will end there for this session. Let's go to stars and wishes. Well, first let's do end of session questions. And then we will go to that. So first of all, for everybody, did the first responders resolve a rescue? Technically, yes. I will say that even though we're in the rescue, I'm going to give you that point of experience by default, because Rex is out of here. And like, and if no one else made it out of the woods, Roderick did, and Roderick resolved the rescue. So therefore, I'm counting the rescue as resolved. Everyone gets that point of experience. No echoes in time this session, I believe. No, which is fine. Unless someone did have one, but that's fine. I'll start with Roderick. Did you admit your wilderness skills are lacking due to a mistake?
I mean, probably not due to, but I mean, I don't know if it's due to a mistake, but I did like, I did almost die, but I don't think that.
I don't think that counts.
I don't count. Did you talk about saying I didn't understand shit?
Yeah. You talk about one of your many certifications? Nah. Alas, alack. Get in there, B. Mike, did you impress others with your wilderness skills?
It depends on Dallas. Dallas, were you impressed by my wilderness skills?
I would say, like, yeah. Like, you're maintaining, like, you're, like, it's hard, you know? Because, like, Dallas isn't liked by Mike, but I think Mike was, like, the ability to go out into the wilderness and track stuff, like especially at nighttime and everything like that, I think that's a pretty impressive feat, because not anybody can do that. So yeah.
Okay.
And Mike, did you share your insight about the White Mountain National Forest?
I think so. Just in general, as to of like, hey, this is what the forest is about.
Yeah.
And just being perplexed about like, why is Dallas bringing here like other places?
Also, I'll give you the using the turkey item, because you probably would have been like, I know for a fact, by the way, Dallas, that turkeys are in a prominent in this region. Yep, take that. Hank, did you remind the others that the old days, the good old days were better? Yes, you did.
With the night vision goggles and the guard rooms.
And did you show the younger team members that you still got it?
I don't know.
Wouldn't say so. All right, and then Dallas, did you explain yet again why you love volunteering?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that whole thing, like, down in Belize and everything like that. Of, like, the beauty of being able to go and see all these things while you're also volunteering your time.
Love that.
Yes.
And then did you impress the others with your wilderness skills?
Did I?
Mike is
yes the repelling.
Yeah, I think yeah the yeah, okay. repelling. I think the repelling.
I did not see the repelling. So, therefore, yes.
Get Get those points. All right, let's go to stars and wishes, everybody. I'll start. Stars to Dallas streaming on Instagram the wilderness explanation at the very start as well, which was also another point about getting impressing people because you were talking to your followers. Really funny. Here's a star. I think it's so freaking funny and perfect to have Daniel be playing the veteran in a group of younger people. So this is just, the vibes are hilarious. It perfectly aligns and I love it. Star to Wes, also Wes, for just like the fucking talking to Mike and just being like, you know, then doing the fucking deer antlers at the side of your head. It's just fucking hilarious. And star for the whip as well. Star to Roderick for the military like flashbacks like of the training, which, by the way, finally happy to see that move in play. That was great. Star to Mike for kind of the conversations with Dallas about just being like, the woods are fucking weird, and just having this whole interaction, but also just in general, star to Chaotic. I was throwing a lot of shit Mike's way, but honestly, this feels like he was getting less fucked up than with the stairs. And there's a lot of crowns being marked this session, but this felt significantly more psychological for Mike than physical, which I feel like was a significant change of pace for him, which is good. Good use of moves, everybody. I really liked seeing the first flashback from the veteran about getting another mountain clue. Very creepy with how we're taking this spin on the theory with the other cultists, possibly, or like road figures, whoever they are. Good use of the ATV again. I like getting the the items. That was nice. Wishes. We are one mountain clue away from the next layer, which I'm excited for. I'm excited for more out of the woods scenes next time, and I want to see scenes between. I want to see a vulnerable scene between Dallas and Hank, honestly. Like, I don't know what that would even remotely look like, but I just want it. Yep, that's my spiel.
God, yes. Oh my God, yes. Also, I just want to like star to Alex for setting up really cool ways for all of us to use our moves. This is that takes a lot of finesse as a keeper, and I really like that. Star to Mike for like confronting Dallas the moment y'all are alone. That was delicious. Like, why do you care so much about this? That was delicious. Absolutely delicious. The streaming is so funny. Like, Dallas is so funny. But like, what I really particularly liked was the way, like, the handling of the scene between Roderick and Dallas with the door of like, cause Dallas has this like sort of jovial, like, hey, everybody, like sort of like marketer salesperson type vibe. But like when shit got really real and something you really wanted, it like toned down to this like real quiet, serious, waiting for something to go wrong. But like you're kind of interested in it going wrong. And I really liked that. And I just love Hank so much. I just adore Hank. He delights me every time. Like, it's so natural the way you work in, like, old stuff that was, like, going on. Like, it feels very real every time you play Hank, and I love it so much. Oh, my God. And, like, the weird, like, robed fate, like, the flashback for the mountain clue. Oh, I love it. I love it. Where the hell is this going? I don't know, but I love it.
I've got too many stars to share, so I'll just try to. Touching on what B just said about Dallas, I'd really like how he's coming across as an ass, right? And then when he's called on it, he spins it around so that he makes the person feel bad because he's doing this for the greater good. You don't want something bad to happen to people. He did it like twice where he like spun it around, and we know that he's up to something, but he spun it around so that he sounds really noble, even though he just did something kind of jackass. A lot of good quotes from B. one of them was, I'm going to go with unsafe, or you sold me on it. Next time I'm in Belize, I'll check it out. And then just messing around with the gateway checking the cracks in the lining of reality. Stars for chaotic for Mike going after the tracks. Like that, a big star there for like, yeah, you guys going with the rescue. I'm gonna sort this out up here. You know, it's just so Mike, such the Ranger move. A lot of stars for Alex throwing in the stairs, keeping the stairs alive, and then also showcasing the different moves. I like the quote, "You're not crazy, Mike. They were there. The stairs were there." Who else do I have? Is that everybody? I got so many notes. A lot of stuff happened tonight or today, whenever you watch this. Yeah, my wish is still to see Mike at the grocery store.
Maybe Dallas and Mike can go to the grocery store together.
Yeah, just a star for Alex for like all the creepy shit that's happened this session. Like, we've got like the people, the robes. We've got the metal leaves. Like that was just like, oh, that's hey man, a texture.
Star Daniel for writing that shit on the keeper sheets. Like, it's great detail.
Again. Oh man, I love the foils between like between Hank and Mike being like just being like the old guard, where Roderick and Dallas seem to be like the new guard, and like, just generally, I love to hate Dallas. Dallas is the worst, but I also can't imagine this game without Dallas. Like, Dallas just needs to be here. Also, Daniel, the other day you were like, oh yeah, the Ranger is meant to be like sort of the hero sort of tale, and like I just rolled too bad to like be the hero. And it's just hilarious. In a general wish, I wish my stats were higher. I need to stop being reasonable and I need to fight stuff. That's what I need to do. Like, I need to be a strong little guy. But oh man, Roderick coming in clutch with like just general moves. Like, everybody was on top of their playbooks moves this session of like getting stuff done. Yeah, I think like the most confident thing Mike did this session was just giving rope to Dallas effectively.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting seeing, like, I can't wait to see more of, like, Dallas and Mike in front of other people that aren't the U.S. Forest Service.
Oh, yes.
And, like, and how they interact with each other, like, when they're in the public. I think that's going to be a very interesting, like, thing to explore. Because I have some ideas of how Dallas is going to treat Mike in front of other people that I think would be, like, very cool and very, like, it'll build a lot of cool character moments. And so, like, I think that's going to be, like, because their dynamic is so interesting to me. And, like, also, like, all the characters' dynamics with each other is so interesting to me. That's my star. Just character dynamics are on point. Star to the game, White Mountain Rescue. Please support this game when the time comes to support this game. Alex, you do a really good job of the creepy. The creepy is really good. You're good at it. We all know this. We love you for it. Roddy is a delight. Even when bad things are happening to Roddy is there to be like, no, we got this, gang, and like, we're gonna go ahead and take that. And also, like, the willingness to just like, you as B know that this is a dangerous fucking archway doorway, but you're like, no, I'm gonna touch the thing. Every TTRPG party, whatever game you're playing, needs one player that's going to touch the thing, so that's really cool.
And we all touch the thing at some point, is what's really great. It also gives us all an opportunity to see a very bad, dangerous thing and go, well, I might as well touch it.
Might as well touch it. It's so fun, and all these characters. And like, Daniel, like this is not even like saying about your age or anything like that, but you fit into that veteran role so well, and you understand it. And like, it's almost like you wrote the damn thing. But like, you understand the assignment. Like, you come in and you understand exactly what needs to happen with that role, and it's so cool to like be able to play this and see this. but yeah, yeah. And I just wishes I'm so excited for whatever comes out of the woods phase, whatever search and rescue phase. Throw it at me. I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. But yeah.
Is that everyone? Oh, wow. Jeez. No, good job, everyone. All right. Well, any last stars or wishes? No? Mm-hmm. Then I will see you all next week. Let's wave goodbye.